Then a couple of guys who have found the Bible to be the truth and the Saviour, Jesus, of whom the Bible speaks to be a Saviour indeed. And we just want this afternoon, for a short space of time, to commend him to you, to tell you about his love, and to tell you about his grace, and to tell you about the wonderful forgiveness that he can bring to you. The power, you know, power is a problem, isn't it? A lot of people who would like to bring about change, a lot of people who know that change is needed, but where do you find the power to make the change, you know? You ask the government, yeah, they'd like to change the nation, some of them would like to change the world, but where do you get the power from? Bible says that the gospel, the good news about Jesus, is the power of God for salvation to everybody who is religious. No, it says to everybody who believes. That's where you get the power. That's where the power is. The power to change. It's in the gospel, the good news about God's Son, Jesus Christ. Wonder-working power it is. And we are here this afternoon because we've tasted that the Lord is good. We've tasted, we've experienced that power. And we would like for you to experience it too, to taste and know the good power of God that brings salvation to the soul, to the person who believes. Power, you see, is always the problem. Where do you find the power to bring about the change? You know, there are ingrained habits in your life. There are sins, you know, people. They turn to the social workers. They turn to the chemist for patches, you know. Get rid of the ingrained habits, you know. They turn to psychobabble. All kinds of stuff, you know, because, well, you know that you ought to change, you know that things ought to go, but how do you get rid of them, and how can you make that change in your life that's so needful? Well, like I say, the Bible says, testifies that the gospel, the good news about Jesus, is still the power of God for salvation today. This modern age in society, people say to me, you know, we don't need this anymore. We're enlightened, you know, we're educated. We don't need the gospel. We don't need Jesus anymore. Can I tell you, people, in spite of all the advances in your modern society, all the technology and stuff, medical science, you know, tremendous advances, but you know, we still can't live with our fellow man. We're still slaughtering one another. More wars in the last century than ever there has been in any century before. And no, not all caused by religion. More people being slaughtered in the name of atheism than ever has been in the name of religion. So here we are, we're still slaughtering one another. We can't live with one another. We can't live with ourselves, our own consciences. We've no peace, and we can't live without God. How can there be peace in the world? How can there be peace in your home? homes, in your families, how can there be peace in your hearts and minds as long as you're hostile and war with God? There never can be peace in the world as long as the human race is at war with God. But peace has been made, the Bible says, by the blood of His cross. Jesus died to make peace. He shed His blood on the cross to make peace, that through the power of the gospel, that man might be reconciled to God, you reconciled to God, one with God, at peace with God, and knowing the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. So people, we still need that power. You see, it's a power that all the technology, all the modern advances can't bring you. You can't learn it in a college. You can't get it in a university. You don't get it in school no more. There's only one place to find it, and that's in God's book, in the Bible, the good news, the gospel about Jesus, God's Son, who died on the cross for ungodly sinners. Wonder working power, the hymn writer says. There's power in the blood, power to change you, power to change, to alter your heart. Jesus says a man, in order to be right with God, a man must be born again. You must be born again. He says you can't see the kingdom of God, perceive it, understand it, unless you've been born again. You know, here we are today. You know, we might as well, for some of you, might as well be talking in double Dutch. You say, I don't understand what you're saying. I don't grasp it. Can't perceive it. And that's because you've never been enlightened. You've never seen the light. You've never been born again. But unless you have been born again, Jesus says, you can't enter the kingdom of God. You can't even understand it. So you see, people, it takes power, divine power, miracle from God. Not talking about religion, we're talking about a person, person of Jesus Christ. That's the difference. You say, oh no, another couple of religious guys come to town, more religion. We don't need religion, don't want religious, thanks very much. I'm not religious, you see. I don't need this. People, you're all religious, every single one of you. You all believe something. What is it that you believe? You say, I believe there is no God. That's your religion. That's what you believe. It's not what you can prove. You can't prove nothing. So you see, people, everybody's religious, everybody believes something, but of course what you believe is will determine whether you've got the power for change, the power for good, the power for righteousness, and the power to be right with God. That only comes through the gospel. The world can't give it to you. Only the gospel, only the word of God, the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, not to everyone who's religious. You talk to religious people, they ain't got a clue about this. Don't know what you're talking about, because you got to be born again, Jesus says. People say to us, why is it you Christians, you keep saying you got to be born again? Because you got to be. You got to be, people. There's a heaven to be won. There's God to be found. And of course, there's hell to be shunned. You see, the reality, the state in the heart of every man, woman, and child born into this world, what a sin. Bible says we're born in sin. It's our natures. There's questions posed for you in the Bible. Can you bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Impossible. Impossible with you, that is. Not with God. With Him nothing shall be impossible. He's got the power to change you. But He alone, through His Son, Jesus Christ, He so loved you, He sent His Son into the world, His only Son, into the world to be crucified, dead and buried, so that you might be reconciled to God. But only Jesus can do it for you. You see, people, another question in the Bible, can a leopard change its spots? You say, no, of course it can't. You say, it would take a miracle to do that. That's his natural state and condition. Well, says God, how can you, who are accustomed to doing evil, how can you possibly do good? That's your natural state and condition. Naturally sinful, naturally wicked, naturally contrary to God. It would take a miracle to change your nature, and that's what's needed, people. Not religion, a miracle, a supernatural act of God, bringing the experience of God into your soul, and by the power of God changing you. And that power, people, is to be found in the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. That's why he came. He came into the world, the Bible says. What for? To make men religious? No, he came, the Bible says, to save, to rescue sinners, to rescue you and I from a certain and a known and very, very dangerous enemy, the enemy within the sin in our own hearts. Isn't it true, people? You don't have to teach your children to do wrong. You don't have to teach them to tell lies. You don't have to teach them to be angry and to rebel against you. They do it quite naturally. Why? Because they're natural born sinners, just the same as you are. Sinful parents only get children like themselves. So if you're sinful parents, no surprise that your children are the same as you. And so it goes on through the generations. Jesus says, it's out of the heart that comes evil thoughts. You know, all the stuff that you complain about day after day, all the wickedness, the violence, all the evil that you see in the world, you say, when? When's it all going to come to an end? What's the answer, you say? Where's the power to change all this? It's in the gospel, people. It'll come to an end when man is reconciled to God, not before. Through the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, the wonder-working power of the gospel, there's power in the blood. And you see, people, it's when you're confronted with the cross of my Savior, the cross of God's Son, Jesus Christ, slain for sinners. He died not because he had done wrong. He died not because he had committed sin. No, he died for our sins. This is the gospel. Christ died for sinners according to the Bible, was buried, after the third day rose again from the dead, according to the Bible, just as the Bible said that he would, to give us the power to change, to give us the power to be washed and cleansed of our sin, and made right with God, and made fit with heaven. But I tell you, people, there's a serious consequence to our sin. Your sin, it fouls up your own life. Your sin, it fouls up your family. Your sin, it fouls up society. Your sin, it fouls up the world. It makes the world a very uncomfortable place to live in. Why, the world's in the mess that it's in because there's sin in the heart of every man, woman and child, every single one of us. And what the mess that you see in the world is the mess of your own heart. Look inside you. Examine your own heart if you dare to do so. Might frighten the life out of you, some of you. But you look into your heart honestly and sincerely, and you'll find exactly the same things that you condemn other people for. You say they ought to be locked up, the key ought to be thrown away, but you look in your heart and you'll find exactly the same wicked, evil, sinful thoughts. But I tell you, the consequence of sin, when it's full blown, it brings forth death. You see, a young woman asked me the question just a few weeks ago, why do people have to die, she said. I told her sin's wages. The wages of sin is death. Always has been, always will be. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death, the Bible tells us. And listen up, that's not the end of it. Oh, you say, when my life's over, when I cock my toes up and go out this world, all the suffering, all the pain will be over. No, it won't. No, it won't. Listen to what God says. It's appointed, and it's an appointment you can't cancel, you can't postpone or put off. You got an appointment with the dentist this afternoon? Pick up the phone. Cancel it, no matter. Got an appointment with the hairdresser? Put it off till another day. No problem. But it's appointed for man once to die. There's a year, there's a month, there's a day, there's an hour, there's a minute when you're going to breathe your last. And you say, well, be all over then. 6 feet of earth, splodge, end of story, finito, black hole. No, says God, it is appointed for man once to die. After this, then comes the judgment. Then you stand before your Maker and you give account for what you are, a sinner by nature, and for every single action and every single thought even. And people, Jesus says that we'll give account for every idle word that we ever speak. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his thoughts, people. Even your thoughts, you see, people, are polluted. We are sinful to a man, to a woman. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, says God. So, people, there's something to be saved from. It's called in the Bible the damnation of hell. It's for real, it's for serious, people. And you need to be saved from it. You need to be rescued from it. You need power, wonder-working power. You need the power of God's love. And I tell you, people, you stand before that cross, the cross of Jesus, where he shed his blood to make peace with you and God. I tell you, people, you can't look at that cross. And you can't know and understand in your heart that Jesus loved you so much that he was willing to endure that pain, that suffering, that death on the cross in order to save you from such an end as the damnation of hell. I tell you, there's nobody in the Bible who speaks more graphically, more clearly, and more powerfully about the damnation of hell than the loving Savior Jesus, who came to save you from it. God would not trust that job to anybody else but his Son, Jesus Christ. And I tell you, people, if you read nothing else, read what Jesus says about the torments of hell. I tell you, people, am I here to frighten you? I wish I could frighten you into heaven. I wish I could frighten you into Jesus Christ. But I can't. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to tell you the truth, because there's power in the truth. It's only believing the truth that will set you free. It's only believing the truth, it's only embracing the truth as it is in Jesus that will set you free from your sinful nature, set you free from the full and final consequences of your sinful life and existence. Flee the wrath to come, Jesus says. He said to one bunch of people, a bunch of religious dudes, he said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Well, for them it was an impossibility. They had crossed the line. But it's not impossible for you to be reconciled to God. It's not impossible, because there's power, wonder-working power, the power of the gospel, the good news about Jesus and his love, embraced by you, believed by you. You put your trust in him, and I tell you, he'll never let you down. He'll never disappoint you. I tell you, his promise is that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So come to him. Come to me, he says, all you that labor, burdened by sin. You try and you strive and you work to be free of those sinful habits. You wish you'd never begun them. How do I get out of this drunkenness? You know, the Bible knows no such a word as alcoholism. That's modern jingle. The Bible calls it drunkenness. It's a sin, people. It needs to be repented of. But you try to break the habits, but you can't find the power. It's not in you. You fail again and again. You make promises to your loved ones. I'll never do it again. I'll never say it again. But you go back and back and you do it all over again. Because, people, you ain't got no power. The power's in Jesus and in Jesus alone. Nobody else can set you free. But if the Son of God, that is, if Jesus set you free, you'll be free indeed. Free, people, free from the sin, free from its condemnation, free from the terror of God's law, and free from the terrors of hell. A lot of brave men in Whitehaven today, I can hear their voices, I can hear the shouting, all very brave, all very, you know, macho man, until that is, you're faced with the reality of death, the king of terrors, when it comes to you, not so macho then, not so brave then, and of course when you're faced with the judge of all the earth, terror such as you never knew was possible, people escape from it, fly from it, turn from your sin. First words of Jesus recorded in the Bible, repent and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is near, so very near to you. It comes to you this afternoon in Whitehaven through the preaching of the gospel. And all people, all that's required of you is that you believe, is that you put your trust in the Son of God, in Jesus. He came to his own, but his own did not, would not receive him, but to them he gave, them who did receive him, to them he gave the power, wonder-working power, to become children of God. you only become a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's where the power is, the power to change, the power to become a child of God, a power, people, that will radicalize your heart and life, make you a new creature in Jesus Christ, and people give you the assurance that when you die, when you're finished with this world, when you breathe your last, you will go to heaven and be with God forever. But I warn you, reject my gospel. Reject the good news about Jesus. And when you die, when you breathe your last, you go out of this world into the torments of hell forever and ever. When you've been there for a million years, you will still have eternity to go. It's never ending, people. But eternal life is yours for the taking. Eternal life is yours in Jesus, in the Son of God, but in Jesus alone, in no other. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me, says Jesus. No other name under the whole canopy of heaven whereby a person can be saved. Only through the power of Jesus Christ, the power of the gospel, only through the power of God unto salvation found in the gospel, God's Son Jesus Christ, that died for sinners and rose again from the dead to justify them. So people, I ask you not just take my word for these things, take God's word. Take a copy of God's word home with you. Read for yourself. See that these things are so. Check it out, people. And who knows, maybe as you read the word of God and I pray for you, maybe perhaps God will command the light to shine into your heart and mind and grant to you that wonderful, powerful experience of change, heart change, life change, destiny change. So you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, yours for the taking, no cost, no obligation to you. Just come and take it out of my hand and it's yours. Do with as you will. But hey, do better. Do better. Hey, take the Son of God home with you. In the quiet recesses of your own heart. Ask Him to be your Savior. Confess your sin. Tell Him you need power to change. Tell Him you need Him. Believe on His name. Receive the Lord Jesus into your heart and life as your Savior and Lord. People, never mind the mockers. Never mind the sneerers. There were them beneath the cross as Jesus was dying. But there were people there that were being saved as well. So people, hey, get serious about your sin. Get serious about God. Get serious about Jesus. Get serious about God's power for salvation. The gospel of God's Son, Jesus Christ. The power of God for salvation. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word, or you'd like somebody to pray for you, then, hey, people, we're here for you. Hey, don't think that we're your enemies because we tell you the truth. We're here because we love you and we want to see you saved. We want you to be in heaven with us one day. We don't want you to be lost. Are we your enemies because we tell you the truth? We love you. And God loves you, and God has proved a and evidence that love that He has for you in the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. So people, receive that love, receive the power, receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved and be right with God. You'd like a copy of God's Word, you come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy upon your precious soul. Let's do that. Ladies, gentlemen, we're here this afternoon. A couple of guys who have found the Bible to be the truth and the Saviour, Jesus, of whom the Bible speaks to be a Saviour indeed. And we just want this afternoon, for a short space of time, to commend Him to you. To tell you about His love, and to tell you about His grace, and to tell you about the wonderful forgiveness that He can bring to you. The power, you know, power is a problem, isn't it? A lot of people who would like to bring about change, a lot of people who know that change is needed, but where do you find the power to make the change, you know? You ask the government, yeah, they'd like to change the nation. Some of them would like to change the world. But where do you get the power from? Bible says that the gospel, the good news about Jesus, is the power of God for salvation to everybody who is religious. No, it says to everybody who believes. That's where you get the power. That's where the power is. The power to change. It's in the gospel, the good news about God's Son, Jesus Christ. Wonder working power it is. And we are here this afternoon because we've tasted that the Lord is good. We've tasted, we've experienced that power, and we would like for you to experience it too, to taste and know the good power of God that brings salvation to the soul, to the person who believes. Power, you see, is always a problem. Where do you find the power to bring about the change? You know, there are ingrained habits in your life. There are sins, you know, people, they turn to the social workers, they turn to the chemist for patches, you know, get rid of the ingrained habits, you know, they turn to psychobabble, all kinds of stuff, you know, because, well, you know that you ought to change, you know that things ought to go, but how do you get rid of them, and how can you make that change in your life that's so needful? Well, like I say, the Bible says, testifies that the gospel, the good news about Jesus, is still the power of God for salvation today. This modern age in society, people say to me, you know, we don't need this anymore. We're enlightened, you know, we're educated. We don't need the gospel. We don't need Jesus anymore. Can I tell you, people, in spite of all the advances in your modern society, all the technology and stuff, medical science, you know, tremendous advances, but you know, we still can't live with our fellow man. We're still slaughtering one another. More wars in the last century than ever there has been in any century before. Not all caused by religion. More people been slaughtered in the name of atheism than ever has been in the name of religion. So here we are, we're still slaughtering one another. We can't live with one another. We can't live with ourselves. Our own consciences, we've no peace, and we can't live without God. How can there be peace in the world? How can there be peace in your homes and your families? How can there be peace in your hearts and minds as long as you're hostile at war with God? There never can be peace in the world as long as the human race is at war with God. But peace has been made, the Bible says, by the blood of His cross. Jesus died to make peace. He shed His blood on the cross to make peace, that through the power of the gospel that man might be reconciled to God, you reconciled to God, one with God, at peace with God, and knowing the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. So people, we still need that power. You see, it's a power that all the technology, all the modern advances can't bring you. You can't learn it in a college. You can't get it in a university. You don't get it in school no more. There's only one place to find it, and that's in God's book, in the Bible, the good news, the gospel about Jesus, God's Son, who died on the cross for ungodly sinners. Wonder working power, the hymn writer says. There's power in the blood. Power to change you, power to change, to alter your heart. Jesus says a man, in order to be right with God, a man must be born again. You must be born again. He says you can't see the kingdom of God, perceive it, understand it, unless you've been born again. You know, here we are today. You know, we might as well, for some of you, might as well be talking in double Dutch. You say, I don't understand what you're saying. I don't grasp it. Can't perceive it. And that's because you've never been enlightened. You've never seen the light. You've never been born again. But unless you have been born again, Jesus says, you can't enter the kingdom of God. You can't even understand it. So you see, people, it takes power, divine power, miracle from God. Not talking about religion, we're talking about a person of Jesus Christ. That's the difference. You see, oh no, another couple of religious guys come to town, more religion. We don't need religion, don't want religious, thanks very much. I'm not religious, you see. I don't need this. People, you're all religious, every single one of you. You all believe something. What is it that you believe? You see, I believe there is no God. That's your religion. That's what you believe. It's not what you can prove. You can't prove nothing. So you see, people, everybody's religious, everybody believes something, but of course what you believe is will determine whether you've got the power for change, the power for good, the power for righteousness, and the power to be right with God. That only comes through the gospel. The world can't give it to you. Only the gospel, only the word of God, the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, not to everyone who's religious. You talk to religious people, they ain't got a clue about this. Don't know what you're talking about, because you got to be born again, Jesus says. People say to us, why is it you Christians, you keep saying you got to be born again? Because you got to be. You got to be, people. There's a heaven to be won. There's God to be found. And of course, there's hell to be shunned. You see, the reality, the state and the heart of every man, woman and child born into this world, what a sin. Bible says we're born in sin. It's our natures. there's questions posed for you in the Bible. Can you bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Impossible. Impossible with you, that is. Not with God. With Him, nothing shall be impossible. He's got the power to change you. But He alone, through His Son, Jesus Christ, He so loved you, He sent His Son into the world, His only Son, into the world to be crucified, dead and buried, so that you might be reconciled to God. But only Jesus can do it for you. You see, people, another question in the Bible, can a leper change its spots? You say, no, of course it can't. You see, it would take a miracle to do that. That's his natural state and condition. Well, says God, how can you who are accustomed to doing evil, how can you possibly do good? That's your natural state and condition. Naturally sinful, naturally wicked, naturally contrary to God. It would take a miracle to change your nature, and that's what's needed, people. Not religion, a miracle, a supernatural act of God, bringing the experience of God into your soul, and by the power of God, changing you. And that power, people, is to be found in the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. That's why He came. He came into the world, the Bible says. What for? To make men religious? No, He came, the Bible says, to save, to rescue sinners, to rescue you and I from a certain and a known and very, very dangerous enemy, the enemy within the sin in our own hearts. Isn't that true, people? You don't have to teach your children to do wrong. You don't have to teach them to tell lies. You don't have to teach them to be angry and to rebel against you. They do it quite naturally. Why? Because they're natural born sinners, just the same as you are. Sinful parents only get children like themselves. So if you're sinful parents, no surprise that your children are the same as you. And so it goes on through the generations. Jesus says, it's out of the heart that comes evil thoughts. You know, all the stuff that you complain about day after day, all the wickedness, the violence, all the evil that you see in the world, you say, when? When's it all going to come to an end? What's the answer, you say? Where's the power to change all this? It's in the gospel, people. It'll come to an end when man is reconciled to God, not before, through the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, the wonder-working power of the gospel. There's power in the blood. And you see, people, it's when you're confronted with the cross of my Savior, the cross of God's Son, Jesus Christ, slain for sinners. He died not because He had done wrong. He died not because He had committed sin. No, He died for our sins. This is the gospel. Christ died for sinners according to the Bible, was buried, after the third day rose again from the dead, according to the Bible, just as the Bible said that He would, to give us the power to change, to give us the power to be washed and cleansed of our sin, and made right with God and made fit with heaven. But I tell you, people, there's a serious consequence to our sin. Your sin, it fouls up your own life. Your sin, it fouls up your family. Your sin, it fouls up society. Your sin, it fouls up the world. It makes the world a very uncomfortable place to live in. why the world's in the mess that it's in, because there's sin in the heart of every man, woman and child, every single one of us. And what the mess that you see in the world is the mess of your own heart. Look inside you. Examine your own heart if you dare to do so. Might frighten the life out of you, some of you. But you look into your heart honestly and sincerely, and you'll find exactly the same things that you condemn other people for. You say they ought to be locked up, the key ought to be thrown away, but you look in your heart and you'll find exactly the same wicked, evil, sinful thoughts. But I tell you, the consequence of sin, when it's full blown, it brings forth death. You see, a young woman asked me the question just a few weeks ago, why do people have to die, she said. I told her sin's wages. The wages of sin is death. Always has been, always will be. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death, the Bible tells us. And listen up, that's not the end of it. Oh, you say, when my life's over, when I cock my toes up and go out this world, all the suffering, all the pain will be over. No, it won't. No, it won't. Listen to what God says. It's appointed, and it's an appointment you can't cancel, you can't postpone or put off. You got an appointment with the dentist this afternoon? Pick up the phone. Cancel it, no matter. Got an appointment with the hairdresser? Put it off till another day. No problem. But it's appointed for man once to die. There's a year, there's a month, there's a day, there's an hour, there's a minute when you're going to breathe your last. And you say, well, be all over then. 6 feet of earth, splodge, end of story, finito, black hole. No, says God, it is appointed for man once to die. After this, then comes the judgment. Then you stand before your Maker and you give account for what you are, a sinner by nature, and for every single action and every single thought even. And people, Jesus says that we'll give account for every idle word that we ever speak. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his thoughts, people. Even your thoughts, you see, people, are polluted. We are sinful to a man, to a woman. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, says God. So, people, there's something to be saved from. It's called in the Bible the damnation of hell. It's for real, it's for serious, people. And you need to be saved from it. You need to be rescued from it. You need power, wonder-working power. You need the power of God's love. And I tell you, people, if you stand before that cross, the cross of Jesus, where he shed his blood to make peace with you and God, I tell you, people, you can't look at that cross. And you can't know and understand in your heart that Jesus loved you so much that he was willing to endure that pain, that suffering, that death on the cross in order to save you from such an end as the damnation of hell. I tell you, there's nobody in the Bible who speaks more graphically, more clearly, and more powerfully about the damnation of hell than the loving Savior Jesus, who came to save you from it. God would not trust that job to anybody else but brought his son, Jesus Christ. And I tell you, people, if you read nothing else, read what Jesus says about the torments of hell. I tell you, people, am I here to frighten you? I wish I could frighten you into heaven. I wish I could frighten you into Jesus Christ. But I can't. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to tell you the truth, because there's power in the truth. It's only believing the truth that will set you free. It's only believing the truth, it's only embracing the truth as it is in Jesus that will set you free from your sinful nature, set you free from the full and final consequences of your sinful life and existence. Flee the wrath to come, Jesus says. He said to one bunch of people, a bunch of religious dudes, he said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Well, for them it was an impossibility. They had crossed the line. But it's not impossible for you to be reconciled to God. It's not impossible, because there's power, wonder-working power, the power of the gospel, the good news about Jesus and his love, embraced by you, believed by you. You put your trust in him, and I tell you, he'll never let you down. He'll never disappoint you. I tell you, his promise is that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So come to him. Come to me, he says, all you that labor, burdened by sin. You try and you strive and you work to be free of those sinful habits. You wish you'd never begun them. How do I get out of this drunkenness? You know, the Bible knows no such a word as alcoholism. That's modern jingle. The Bible calls it drunkenness. It's a sin, people. It needs to be repented of. But you try to break the habits, but you can't find the power. It's not in you. You fail again and again. You make promises to your loved ones. I'll never do it again. I'll never say it again. But you go back and back and you do it all over again. Because, people, you ain't got no power. The power's in Jesus and in Jesus alone. Nobody else can set you free. But if the Son of God, that is, if Jesus sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Free, people, free from the sin, free from its condemnation, free from the terror of God's law, and free from the terrors of hell. A lot of brave men in Whitehaven today, I can hear their voices, I can hear the shouting, all very brave, all very, you know, macho man, until that is, you're faced with the reality of death, the king of terrors, when it comes to you, not so macho then, not so brave then, and of course when you're faced with the judge of all the earth, terror such as you never knew was possible, people escape from it, fly from it, turn from your sin. First words of Jesus recorded in the Bible, repent and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is near, so very near to you. It comes to you this afternoon in Whitehaven through the preaching of the gospel. And all people, all that's required of you is that you believe, is that you put your trust in the Son of God, in Jesus. He came to his own, but his own did not, would not receive him, but to them he gave, them who did receive him, to them he gave the power, wonder-working power, to become children of God. You only become a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's where the power is, the power to change, the power to become a child of God, a power, people, that will radicalize your heart and life, make you a new creature in Jesus Christ, and people give you the assurance that when you die, when you're finished with this world, when you breathe your last, you will go to heaven and be with God forever. But I warn you, reject my gospel, reject the good news about Jesus, and when you die, when you breathe your last, you go out of this world into the torments of hell forever and ever. When you've been there for a million years, you will still have eternity to go. It's never ending, people. But eternal life is yours for the taking. Eternal life is yours in Jesus, in the Son of God, but in Jesus alone, in no other. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me, says Jesus. No other name under the whole canopy of heaven whereby a person can be saved. Only through the power of Jesus Christ, the power of the gospel, only through the power of God unto salvation found in the gospel, God's Son Jesus Christ, that died for sinners and rose again from the dead to justify them. So people, I ask you not just take my word for these things, take God's word. Take a copy of God's word home with you. Read for yourself. See that these things are so. Check it out, people. And who knows, maybe as you read the word of God, and I pray for you, maybe perhaps God will command the light to shine into your heart and mind, and grant to you that wonderful, powerful experience of change, heart change, life change, destiny change. So you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, yours for the taking, no cost, no obligation to you. Just come and take it out of my hand and it's yours. Do with as you will. But do better. Do better. Take the Son of God home with you. In the quiet recesses of your own heart, ask Him to be your Savior. Confess your sin. Tell Him you need power to change. Tell Him you need Him. Believe on His name. Receive the Lord Jesus into your heart and life as your Savior and Lord. People, never mind the mockers. Never mind the sneerers. There were them beneath the cross as Jesus was dying. But there were people there that were being saved as well. So people, get serious about your sin. Get serious about God. Get serious about Jesus. Get serious about God's power for salvation. The gospel of God's Son, Jesus Christ. The power of God for salvation. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word, or you'd like somebody to pray for you, then, people, we're here for you. Don't think that we're your enemies because we tell you the truth. We're here because we love you and we want to see you saved. We want you to be in heaven with us one day. We don't want you to be lost. Are we your enemies because we tell you the truth? We love you. and God loves you, and God has proved and evidenced that love that He has for you in the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. So people, receive that love, receive the power, receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved and be right with God. You'd like a copy of God's Word, you come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy upon your precious souls.